God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is part of our stewardship program, Excelling in the Grace of Giving. It's also part of our first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 20, especially those last words, which is written, "The words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." This is our text. Now, to be fair, our sinful nature may arise a little bit with these words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And our sinful nature may take on many forms as its defense mechanisms come up. And usually, at least if your sinful nature is anything like mine, it might come up this way. What about the other guy? What about the other person? There's sort of one of these email cliches I came across that says, if it's true that we are here to help others, then what exactly are the others here for? That's just beautiful, having our sinful nature just sort of come through on those words. It's like, okay, this is for me, what about for them? Well, hear the words of Jesus. This is for you. We're not going to worry so much about them. We're worried about you. Now, our sinful nature might not let us weasel out of that quickly. And might say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to open up my Bible. And now I'm going to do some checking here. Where did Jesus say these words? It's not in the Gospels. So where is the author of the book of Acts quoting these things from? We need to remind ourselves at the end of the Gospel of John, where John very clearly says that Jesus did a lot more than the miracles that are written in these books. But these books are written for you to believe and to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Bottom line is, you're trying to weasel out of these words by saying they're not coming from the gospel, but yet in our red letter edition of the Bible, they're still read. The answer is, we leave that up to St. Luke, who wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. We need to strike down our sinful human nature because, in one essence, these words of Jesus are not inconsistent with Scripture. It wasn't some variant that was added in, because for the sake of this message, I decided to check my Greek text. And no, there wasn't a variant reading here. This is what the Greek text says. So, the command is for you. Now, to help teach this a little bit better, I'm going to use an illustration. And I want for this illustration for you to realize I'm not an expert in trees. I'm not an arborist. So, if I get something wrong, just bear with me here. The title of the message is The Fruit Tree, because I want you to consider now the fruit tree. There's a difference between a tree that bears fruit that is edible for us to eat, and so let's call that the fruit tree, versus trees that bear fruit that aren't edible for us to eat, because all trees do have some sort of quote-unquote fruit, okay? But we don't eat them because it's not edible. So for the sake of this message, when I refer to fruit tree, I mean the edible fruit ones, and I refer to non-fruit trees, I mean the ones that don't produce fruit that are edible. Okay, the fruit tree gives and produces fruit without asking, what about the other guy? Consider for a moment, you know, an apple tree. It goes ahead and produces its apples in relationship to the kind of tree it is. It doesn't sit there and say, what about the other trees in the orchard? What are they producing? Are they producing the same amount that I'm producing? It doesn't ask that question. It gives of its fruit, and it does so also without judging the person who receives the fruit. You know, I have a vision of some movie. You might have the same vision where the main character goes up to a fruit tree and wants to pick an apple, and the fruit tree pulls back the branches and says, "No, you can't have it." The fruit tree, except for in Hollywood, doesn't do that. It gives without judging the recipient. It just hears the fruit. It gives without worrying. It gives without worrying that there isn't going to be enough water or nutrients in the soil. It just gives. If the water and nutrients aren't there, it still tries to give to the best of its ability, and that's okay. It doesn't necessarily need to be 100% fruitful. It takes the nutrients from the soil, the water, and makes fruit with it. It gives without worrying, is next year going to be a drought? Should I store some of this water or nutrients up? The answer is no. The water and nutrients are there. Tap into it. Now there is fruit. If the fruit tree is living, it gives fruit. If the fruit tree is not living, it's dead. There is no fruit from a dead tree. Quick parallel to us now. In one essence, we were a regular tree. We were not fruit-bearing trees. Until something changed us. Until something happened to us. And that something is God and His gift, especially through the waters of holy baptism. Water does play a very important part in the tree's production of fruit. And just like the tree that's in front of my office window right now, it is a pear tree, but it is not a fruit-bearing pear tree that is edible. Needless to say, in one essence, I could say that is somewhat of the person before God's word changes them. Because what happens when we are brought to the baptismal font? God does indeed change us. He changes our hearts. See, we are a new creation. It'd be like God now coming down and baptizing that tree and changing its DNA, changing its composition, so now that it bears an edible fruit. Now let's get back to our text. What about the other guy? That question is really irrelevant. If you are alive in Christ, you are baptized, you are a new creation, you are changed by God's doing. And because you are connected to God, because you are connected to Christ Jesus, there is fruit. It's not like the tree has to work at it, does it? It comes naturally. And so what is the fruit that comes naturally from the Christian? Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In one essence, as scriptures remind us, we are created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works. Not that God is the recipient, per se, of our fruit. God is the one who is giving us His Word, who is giving us His sacrament, who is providing us the life that us as trees need to produce that fruit. Who is the recipient of the fruit? Yes, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, and the recipient is our neighbors. But too often as trees, we fail to realize something, that we're fruit trees. Yeah, we might sit there and say, "Yes, Pastor, I understand the power of God's word, the power that transforms and changes our lives. I understand the Lord's Supper. It is the very true body and blood of Christ that feeds and nourishes us and gives us the forgiveness of sins and strengthens our faith." But too often we just want to receive all of that And now, is there not a change within us that was affected by holy baptism that produces good fruit, good works? But now I just changed the term. Good fruit, good works. Oh, we're Lutherans. And as Lutherans, we sometimes get a little queasy about good works. Yes, we need to be reminded that, yes, we are saved by God's grace through faith. We call this justification, in which we look to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, there is my salvation. It is complete right then and there. Fair enough. I'm not taking away the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. That is indeed justification. But what happens after we are baptized? Now we move into the realm of what we call sanctification. Sanctification is that process of what? Bearing fruit. You see, before we were fruit trees, the Holy Spirit through baptism and God's Word changes us to be fruit trees. And as we are connected to Christ in His Word and sacrament, as we are filled with His life, forgiveness, and strength, we naturally bear fruit. And so God gives us what we need to bear fruit. He changes us, feeds us. And now we are fruitful. We need our neighbor to receive our good works, to receive this fruit. Because we are connected to God's Word, there is that change. We will be productive. This is what God commands, and our neighbor is still in need. Besides, consider for a moment what happens to a fruit tree that produces fruit, but then decides, I will try to keep it for myself. Could that ever happen? Realistically, no. Because what does God do to the fruit trees? They produce fruit, yes, when there's abundance of nutrients, and then the seasons change. The nutrients are not necessarily there as much. The tree loses a little bit of that strength, not to kill it, but enough to drop the fruit. And if the fruit tree is so stingy to sit there and says, I still will keep it to myself, what happens when the fruit falls? It falls at the base of the tree, and then it becomes wormy and rotten. And even worse, not only is it unedible, but then it attracts things like hornets. And I really don't like hornets. Needless to say, we dare not disagree with our Savior. It is better to give than to receive. In case if you're wondering if this is just some sort of legalism that Paul is trying to encourage us, or St. Luke is trying to encourage us, let's go back for a moment to the psalmist. The first psalm. Let me just start at the beginning. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This is not some new theology. This is old. Old because it is God, as he reveals himself in his word for us. Yes, the psalmist knew, just as I hope and pray that you know, as you attach yourself to God's word and sacraments, that change that was effected through holy baptism is nurtured, strengthened, fed, a result, since we are changed trees, we produce fruit. So this day we do give great praise and thanks to God, who has changed us through water, holy baptism, and continues to feed and nurture us through his word and sacrament. He forgives us our many sins when we want to be judgmental and say, where is the other guy? And when we don't want to be, quote unquote, productive as far as bearing fruit, like we have any choice. God does what? Here's my forgiveness. Here's my word. It does change us. So we rejoice with Jesus' words, and we ask the Lord to continue to use us as his tools and instruments, as his orchard, bearing fruit for those in need. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.